The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Vasilevsky left it for the D. Moser sends it out of the zone, and it's an empty net for Hagel. He's got it, throws to the left, back to Hagel, score! They're throwing hats on the ice, but they don't realize that they changed the goal to Anthony Cirelli. And so, doesn't matter to Hagel. He and Gensel exchange passes. Gensel gets the assist on Hagel's second goal, and they're throwing some hats on the ice, but they changed that second goal.
Yeah. I think he owes some people a hat.
4-1 Tampa, empty netter.
Probably more so what we weren't doing. We just, you know, struggled to win some pucks. And when you don't win pucks, you chase pucks and you get exhausted. So I don't think we didn't win enough pucks in all three zones, especially in the offensive zone. I liked our start. I thought we did some good things in that first period. Had a good road period, something we talked about. But, you know, we hand him one there at the end of the first. And then second, we weren't great. Third, we kind of ran out of gas.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? We wake up on Wednesday, January 21st, finding the San Jose Sharks in second in the Western Wild Card rankings. 53 points on the season, 25-21-3. 6 out of their last 10 have been wins, and they go 2-2 on a 4-game road trip in which they had 2 consecutive back-to-backs. 2 of the 4 consecutive back-to-backs they've played overall, home and away, and they win 5 out of those 8 games. And I think if you had told us before these 4 consecutive back-to-backs, 2 of which were on the road, that the Sharks were going to walk away with 5 wins out of those 8 games, you take those in a heartbeat. And I think for the San Jose Sharks, maintaining their ability to be alive in this playoff race amidst very, very difficult scheduling, that is priority number one, and they are passing that test. Next up for San Jose, they are home for one on Friday, playing host to the Rangers. Then they're back out on the road to go into the Olympic break. They are at Vancouver, at Edmonton, at Calgary, at Chicago, and then at Colorado, and they're not back home until the 26th of February when they're going to be hosting Calgary. So the San Jose Sharks have difficulty in front of them, but they also have winnable games in front of them. The Rangers, again, I think that's a very winnable game for San Jose on their own home ice, even though the Rangers are very much a better team away from home than they are at Madison Square Garden. They can beat Vancouver on the road. They just did that a few short weeks ago. They can beat Edmonton, although that's a much stiffer challenge. They can beat Calgary. We know that. They can beat Chicago. The Avalanche game is going to be difficult. The Avs and Edmonton, of 2 out of the 5 on the road, they're going before they go out, into the break. Those are the 2 most difficult games. I do think they can beat the Rangers at home. So the Sharks have a chance to, again, pile up more wins, stay alive in that playoff conversation. We don't know yet when Kiefer Sherwood is going to be available. That's still the question mark for this team. But for the San Jose Sharks, again, they keep on ticking off the box of staying alive in the playoff race. And that's the most important thing to me. I think that in these 2 back-to-backs, you could see the fatigue weighed on them in Detroit, in which they turned the puck over far too many times, and that narrative very much repeated itself in this most recent back-to-back at Florida, where they win, just like they did at Washington, and then at Tampa, going up against a very talented team, very similar to Detroit, and they lose 4-1. Compared to their earlier games against Tampa this year when they lost 7-3, this was much more respectable. This was much more of a pleasing effort, I think, from San Jose, but you could still see them wearing the fatigue. You could still see the overall mental mistakes in their game, and that's to be relatively expected. I know they're not going to make any excuses for themselves, but I think they're all aware of the inherent difficulty of going up against a very, very good team on the road on the second night of a back-to-back when you just played the two-time defending champions the night before. I mean, these teams have been to six Stanley Cup finals in the last few years between the two of them. Well, last night, San Jose, I think you could see that they were going to be put into another race right off the bat. Tampa Bay played with a very, very high level of pace, and the Sharks were able to match it early on, and they were even able to find a lead. But then you just saw Tampa take over the game. Of course, you give up that one goal that gets a little bit of life under their legs and gets them a little bit of that confidence that they're known for. And then when a team like Tampa is at home, all it takes is that little push sometimes, and they just get rolling. And that's exactly what they did. You know, Hagel scores that goal with a little less than 5 minutes remaining in the first period. Then they score early on in the second to make it 2-1. Then about 90 seconds later, it's 3-1. And the San Jose Sharks, even though they had that brief lead for about 33 seconds, you know, between 14:37 of the first and 3:17 of the second, they went from 1-0 in the lead to down 3-1. And so that's, you know, a turn of barely 10 minutes of hockey. Tampa Bay flipped the switch just like the Sharks did to Washington, just like the Sharks did to Florida, and took control of that game. And that's what really, really good teams do. San Jose, I didn't think they played a terrible game. They just needed to be cleaner and have more energy against a team like Tampa Bay. And you can tell that wasn't in the cards, you know, very, very quickly in that game as they got to the second half and the later stages of that first period. And then in the second period, you could see they didn't have their legs, but combined with that, you know, the mistakes they were making, they couldn't control the puck. They couldn't get it out of their zone cleanly. They were just chucking it down the ice, throwing it around, in which that leads to turnovers, A, and B, that leads to no establishment of any offensive zone time. You're not able to control the pace of the game. You're not able to control the other team and put them on their heels and get them defending and get them tired. The Sharks were the team on their heels. The Sharks were the team tracking back far too consistently. And again, when you can't do that with any sort of a break, with any sort of time to get yourself set on offense, when you're constantly just throwing it down to the other end, I mean, the amount of icings the Sharks were involved in for a stretch of that game was just throw it down to the other end, throw it down to the other end, throw it down to the other end. That weighs on you because not only does that put it right back in your defensive zone, that means you have to keep those guys out there on the ice. And so you just see the fatigue building up on the second night of a back-to-back. That is not going to go well. And, you know, I don't think that there's anything that you can really derive from this game that's going to be some sort of a great revelation for the San Jose Sharks. I think it's pretty clear to see that they are not as good as Tampa Bay, and that's perfectly okay. I know everybody wants the Sharks to win every single game, but even if the San Jose Sharks are in a 7-game series with Tampa Bay with appropriate rest built in, they probably lose 5-1 or 4-2. It's not going to be without competition or something to that extent. I wouldn't expect them to get swept by Tampa, but 5-1 or 4-2 in a 7-game series would be how I expect it to go because, A, Tampa has the championship pedigree. They are still a very, very talented team, even if they don't have the same construct that they did when they won back-to-back titles and went to 3 straight Stanley Cup finals. But they are obviously an upper echelon team with one of the best goalies in the game. And when they're on their game, they can absolutely hammer anyone on any night. And the San Jose Sharks, as much as we love their rise, as much as we love their ascent, they are not there, quote unquote, yet. And that's one of the harsh realities that the Sharks learn every time they play one of these top tier upper echelon teams, as I would call them. It has not gone well against Colorado this year. It has not gone well against Vegas this year. You know, you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, they've lost twice to Detroit. They've lost twice to Tampa. They were able to beat Carolina. You know, that's something that we take, pride in. And they were able to beat Pittsburgh. But, you know, those teams are very, very good. And the San Jose Sharks are getting better. They are a team that is on the rise. But, you know, there's just a level of experience and talent and development that's ahead of where the San Jose Sharks are. And one of the things that, you know, we kind of have bandied about with the San Jose Sharks is, you know, if they get into the playoffs, can they make some noise? And the ultimate thing is that you see their most important players who are Macklin Celebrini, who are Will Smith. You know, we talk about these guys that are going to be the stars of the future. They don't have that playoff experience. There's only one way to get it, obviously, but, you know, their most important players don't have that experience as of yet. And you can see that in these games. And Macklin Celebrini, I think on this road trip, didn't look like his best self. You know, he's on the first 2-game pointless streak that he's had since the start of December. And I think that there was maybe a little bit of fatigue in his game. He didn't have the same pop. He didn't have the same jump. And, you know, listen, that's an incredibly harsh standard to hold Celebrini to be like, oh yeah, continue to be one of the top scorers in the league every single night at 19 years old, especially while you're on the road with two straight back-to-backs. And so with that in mind, you expect him to bounce back. But I do think that, you know, he'd been playing heavy minutes and he's been logging all this extra time and he's been putting the team on his back and having one of the most remarkable seasons by a 19-year-old that we can ever remember. And up there with names like Sidney Crosby and Wayne Gretzky, and that doesn't happen by accident. But for San Jose, I mean, you see that if Macklin isn't having those nights, then you need to have other guys pick up the slack like we saw on the first game of that series or that back-to-back against Florida. But that didn't happen last night for San Jose. They got the one goal, a great play by William Eklund, who went flying around behind the net and found Tyler Toffoli and bounced off his body. That's Tyler Toffoli in a nutshell, being in the right place at the right time, getting down low, using his build to create space for himself. But that's only one goal. The rest of the time, the San Jose Sharks saw Vasilevskiy make some absolutely amazing saves. And that's not to overshadow what we saw from Askarov last night, who made some monumental saves. You know, had a really, really good night, had a really, really good performance. But the Sharks, you know, gave goals to Tampa. The Sharks made life easier for Tampa. I won't say they made life, quote unquote, easy, but San Jose was the reactionary team. San Jose was the team that was trying to find any sort of rhythm all night long, which they were unable to do. They were clearing the puck out of their own end just to ice it and give themselves a moment of breathing rest. They were the team turning the puck over. They were the team that looked like they didn't have their game plan, you know, on point. I think I know what they wanted to do, but they couldn't do it. And so when that happens, you acknowledge that the other team is better and that the San Jose Sharks were on the second night of a back-to-back and fatigued. You learn from it. And you move on because you have very, very important games now taking you into the Olympic break. You get one of which is at home, and then you're back out on the road for five, and you want to make the most out of these six games before you go into the break. I think San Jose obviously looking at 500 to take them into the break at the very minimum, but I do think they have a chance to win four out of these six games coming up. You know, again, the game against Edmonton and the game against Colorado, those are the two that are going to be stark challenges for San Jose. There's no surprise. There's no shock there, but those are the ones that are going to be the real challenges. The every other game, I think if the Sharks want to consistently stay in this playoff race, they've got to win, you know, those other games or in some way, shape or form, win four out of these next six. That's just the reality of where this team is right now. You know, 500 is fine. 500 is acceptable. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if you've got six games, winning four out of them would go a long way to keep your team in that playoff conversation because then you go into the break and then momentum, whatever you had, goes into a little bit of a, not in a slump or anything like that, but the team has to kind of regather themselves and refine everything that was working previously. Last year, after the break, they were able to tighten up their defensive structure. They looked a little bit more disciplined, especially, you know, in defense. That was a big, big revelation for the team, but the talent level was totally different. And, you know, they were playing at such a low end last year, and that's not to be said in the pejorative. It's just a reality is they were getting hammered so many times last year with extended losing streaks that, you know, they had a lot to tighten up. This team doesn't have as much to tighten up. They can be better, but, and I talked about this with Dave Mishkin yesterday, who is the play-by-play announcer for the Tampa Bay Lightning, is that, you know, the Sharks have some lopsided losses that play into one of the reasons why they've given up so many goals this year, and that was very much the case last year, but you know, you see where they need to tighten up. You see where this team needs to be a little bit better. But for the most part, the Sharks continue to pass the tests that are thrown at them. Again, we're not pleased with them losing to Tampa last night. On the one hand, it's a much better performance than when they got blown out 7-3 most recently. They were down 3-1 at the end of the first. This is a 1-1 game at the end of the first last night. They go 500 on the road trip. They take down two very good teams in Washington and Florida and lose to two very good teams in Detroit and then Tampa Bay. That's fine, guys. I know that everyone wants to win every single night, but if we tell you they win 5 out of 8 of these four consecutive back-to-backs and they split this road trip against four very good teams, you're okay with that. I do not walk away from any of these games thinking that the Sharks' outlook on the season has changed. They are still fighting to stay in that playoff spot. I'm just indicating on the whole what they have to do to make the playoffs. And again, winning 4 out of 6 going into the Olympic break would go a long way for this team. All right, let's get into some of the highlights from last night. Not too many for San Jose, but Tyler Toffoli from William Eklund, the San Jose Sharks, able to get themselves an early lead at Tampa.
Alex Wennberg wins the faceoff. No score. William Eklund carries into the left corner of the Tampa zone. Makes the move by Chernock. Goes for the wraparound. Score! I'm not sure if Toffoli tipped that in front, but Eklund did all of the work, stick handling behind the net, and it all started with a face-off win for Alex Wennberg. With 5:23 to go in the first period, the Sharks take the 1-0 lead.
So the Sharks had the early lead in this game, but the team that Tampa is, the championship pedigree, if they find a response quickly, they are going to take control of that game, I feel. So I was really curious to see how the Sharks would manage the next few minutes of the period, and we didn't even get a minute. We got 33 seconds, and then Tampa Bay tied the game at 1.
In the neutral zone, Hagel is out there with Cirelli and Kucherov. That's who I'd throw out there. Uh-oh, Kucherov steals from Dickinson, drops it back. Here's Cirelli into the offensive zone, throwing to the net. They score! It's Hagel tying it up just as quickly as that. Dickinson lost the puck to Kucherov. That's what started it, but Hagel finished it. And with only 4:50 to go in the first period, the Lightning have evened the score 1-1.
And so that brings us into the second period, tied at 1. It didn't take long for Tampa to continue that momentum and take a 2-1 lead.
Now the faceoff coming up here, just to the left side of Askarov. The puck skips right in front of him and went wide of Annette to the near corner. Lightning pick it up. They send it across the ice. There's Kucherov in front. There was a chance for Hagel. Goes for the wraparound and scores! Cirelli one-on-one in front of Annette there against Sam Dickinson. He provided a little bit of interference legally, but it was Hagel who wound that from behind the net and tucked it in. I thought Askarov was going to get a piece of it. He did, but he couldn't stretch his body enough, quite far enough, to make the second stop as Askarov stopped it. But there's Cirelli banging on it against Dickinson one-on-one in front, and he gets his stick away loose and inside, and it's in the net. So we'll see who they credit this goal for, but that was a combination work there by Brandon Hagel. Looks like he's going to definitely get credit for it, but credit Cirelli for a lot of effort there.
So to start off that second period, the Tampa Bay Lightning, less than 2 minutes in, 1:49 of the second, have a 2-1 lead, and then just about 90 seconds later, take a 3-1 lead, are now completely in control of this game.
Moving to center ice now, the Lightning have it. They skate into the Shark zone, and they throw it into the corner. Dominic James in front, they score! Dominic James was in the right wing corner, and all he did was feed it right in front to Jake Guentzel, who was totally unmolested by himself. He could have had a ham sandwich and a Coke before he shot that puck, and he snapped it home past Askarov to make it suddenly 3-1.
And the Sharks just really couldn't establish themselves in this game the same way again that they did in the first period, where they looked that much more competitive. You could see they didn't have the life in their legs. You could see the mental fatigue. You could see the errors stacking up in their game. They had some opportunities, though. Ryan Reeves made a great play, poking the puck away and having a breakaway, but Vasilevsky made the stop, man. That was a great stop by him, but you love to see Ryan Reeves just trying to make something happen. On his birthday, by the way, and you could see he was not happy at the end of that play, taking it out on himself. He thought he should have had himself a goal.
Chernock rushes in from his point position along the boards to keep it in play. Guns it around the far boards. Uh-oh, it's a steal. Ryan Reeves steals it on his 39th birthday. Here comes Reeves moving in. He shoots it. Where is it? Save. Rebound. Scramble. Loose. Reeves jamming at the puck, but it's stopped by Vasilevsky.
Still, you love the heart, the fire, and the desire by Reeves trying to make something, anything happen. But it was not the Sharks' night, and I think that was pretty evident to see. Yaroslav Askarov, I think the score is deceptive in terms of evaluating his night. I thought he was better than the amount of goals that went in on him, 3. And he made some absolutely huge saves when the Sharks were fighting to keep themselves alive in the game, trying to give themselves a chance as late as possible.
Graf is giving chase back forward at the near side. Checked there by Hagel, spun away from Graf, and moves into the Shark zone, and now Kucherov takes. Lead pass to the right. Hagel in front. Oh, what a save by Askarov on the one-time chance by Paul. Rebound picked up. Another great save by Askarov off Kucherov. And now Kucherov is pickpocketed there by the Sharks' Ostapchuk. What goaltending right there for Askarov. The score is 3-1 Tampa, but we'll remember those saves.
But eventually Askarov was pulled as San Jose was trying anything to create some offense, and the Tampa Bay Lightning bury that empty netter 4-1. That's your final.
Vasilevsky left it for the D. Moser sends it out of the zone, and it's an empty net for Hagel. He's got it, throws to the left, back to Hagel, score! They're throwing hats on the ice, but they don't realize that they changed the goal to Anthony Cirelli. And so, doesn't matter to Hagel. He and Gensel exchange passes. Gensel gets the assist on Hagel's second goal. And they're throwing some hats on the ice, but they changed that second goal.
Yeah, I think he owes some people a hat.
4-1 Tampa, empty netter.
So again, a much more respectable loss to Tampa this time compared to what happened on January 3rd. And you go from here and see what San Jose can bring to the table in these next six games before the break. One positive out of these most recent games, Michael Misa is developing before our very eyes. We see him play with more pace. We see him be more aggressive out there on the ice. Things are slowing down for him. He's figuring things out. That is my biggest takeaway from that game last night. You can take away, you know, Askarov looked good, even though the Sharks were not great in front of him. Michael Misa looked like he played a good game. Macklin Celebrini looked a little bit fatigued. Will Smith a little bit fatigued, playing in a back-to-back, coming back from his injuries. So, you know, a lot of little things out of last night's game. Nothing big, no star turns, nothing major, but for the San Jose Sharks, you need to learn from these losses, move on, and take those lessons into games that you need to win going into the Olympic break. All right, we are going to get into some post-game reaction from last night's game. First, Tyler Toffoli.
Borzo talked this afternoon about trying to focus on not making the mental mistakes, especially against a team like this. Just, you know, how did those kind of mental mistakes, turnovers hurt you guys today?
Yeah, I think, you know, our mistakes turned into goals against, and, you know, we rely on Askey a lot, but you can't expect him to make, you know, the saves that he was forced to try and make tonight, and, you know, that's on us.
First couple of periods had difficulty generating shots. What was it that they were doing or that you guys were not doing?
I mean, they're one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. So, you know, that is what it is. They close quick in the D zone, and they're hard physically. So, you know, it's not easy. I think we found ways to generate some opportunities, but it's also a very good goalie net.
What do you take out of the back-to-back against these two perennial playoff teams?
Yeah, it's not easy. The schedule's been hard on us all year. I think we have the most back-to-backs in the league. Or one of them, whatever it is, and it's no excuse, but, you know, it's never easy, you know, getting delayed, coming in here and playing the best team in the league, but we started, had a, you know, solid first 10 minutes, I thought, but obviously things fell apart.
Speaking of those back-to-backs, this is the fourth straight back-to-back, that finally the end of it. I don't know if I've ever seen a schedule like that. What does it say about just overall, that the team overall won five of those eight games, played mostly well, just of the character, resilience of the team?
Yeah, we have a great group of guys, and everybody, you know, took turns stepping up and doing a good job. So, got to fly home and... I mean, I haven't really looked at the schedule, you know, coming up, but I know we play in a couple days, and I think we go back on the road, so it's a grind, and we got to stick together as a group.
On your goal there, what do you see there? Looked like Willie made a nice play there.
Yeah, he did a good job breaking away and getting a little space for himself, and I just went to the net and just a fortunate bounce.
There's one particular breakdown, the Gensel goal. How do you see that? What happened there?
Which goal was that?
The third goal, the Tampa's third goal.
Goalie handle went in the corner. I thought we had possession of it, and I was gone, and obviously a breakdown, and he was open in front of the net.
Michael moves to the wing today. Not that you had a particular advice for him at that moment, but just in general for a young winger, a guy transitioning positions, you know, what is a general thing for a guy like that to focus on?
Honestly, I don't know. I think he's going to get an opportunity, and he has to take advantage of it. So, you know, he's got to use his speed and use his skill when he's out there with those two guys, and he's got to create some offense. That's, you know, what he was obviously out there for.
Yeah, and I think that seeing Misa on the wing in a couple of situations last night, it was just trying to figure things out for San Jose and try and get things going. I have no problem with that, and Ryan Warsawski sees that he's in a deficit. The game is getting later and later. You got to make changes. You got to do something to see if you can create a spark. I don't think that's going to be Misa's role going forward, but I like the fact that you're just trying to do anything at that situation. You know, there's the old saying, you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. And I think Ryan Warsawski has been pretty good at making adjustments this year and just trying to figure out anything in the moment to see if he can spark his team to something in the late stages of games like that. It didn't work last night, but, you know, also putting Misa in a situation where maybe he has a little bit more freedom, I don't hate that. I love seeing what these players can do in different roles. And also, if you're going to lose, you might as well learn something from the loss, like seeing what Michael Mesa can do on the wing. Here's head coach Ryan Warsawski after the game.
It was just a game like we talked about in the afternoon where the kind of the mental mistakes, the turnovers really kill you guys here.
Yeah, we give them two goals. So anytime you do that against a really good team, you're gonna pay for it. And we just, we're chasing it after that.
The first couple of periods had difficulty generating shots against them. Is that more what they were doing or what you guys weren't doing?
Probably more so what we weren't doing. We just, struggled to win some pucks. And when you don't win pucks, you chase pucks and you get exhausted. So I don't think we didn't win enough pucks in all three zones, especially in the offensive zone. I liked our start. I thought we did some good things in that first period. Had a good road period, something we talked about, but we hand him one there at the end of the first, and then second we weren't great. Third, we kind of ran out of gas.
The pairing of Sam and Vinny, maybe not their best night, especially a younger guy like Sam. What's he got to learn from take away from tonight?
I think it's not just Sam. It's a lot of our young guys need to learn. It's an everyday league, and the schedule and people don't feel bad for you. You have to show up and you got to work and be a pro. And we're not going to use the schedule as an excuse, but you have to do it every single day, and I think that's something that we'll learn from.
You had Michael on the wing there. What was the thinking behind that, and did you like what you saw out of him on the wing?
Yeah, just trying to get something going. We just obviously couldn't generate a lot of offense, so I thought Meese probably earned that, to go up there and give it a look. So we'll see. We'll look at it.
Yeah, will you consider putting him on the wing kind of for a little bit here, or does that?
Yeah, we'll consider it. We'll talk about it.
Speaking of the back-to-backs, I know you don't want to use that excuse, but this is the fourth straight back-to-back. I've never seen a schedule like that. And you guys actually won 5 of 8 games and played mostly well. So what does that say overall just about the team, just how you guys did well under tough circumstances last month?
Yeah, I think if you looked at it, before the 8-game stretch, we'd probably be pretty pleased. And then I think we still left some points out there. The Detroit game's one of them. I thought we could have had at least got a point in tonight. We kind of... if we play the right way, we our brains are in it, we'll probably find a way to get a point. So that's the frustrating part, and we'll learn from it and move forward.
What do you think of Askarov's performance?
I thought it was good. There's not much you can do on probably all those goals. He made some saves when we needed him to. So, I thought he was good tonight.
And it didn't matter in the end there, but that save he makes on side to side on Nick Paul, that just shows kind of just the ability, raw ability he has.
Yeah, his freak athletic ability is why he can make some special saves.
And I think you hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski that he's not pleased with the loss, but I think there is a note of reality in his tone where he's maybe not going to acknowledge the scheduling, but that did play a factor in his team not having what they needed to have in a game against Tampa like that. The schedule, very, very difficult. You heard Shang reference it, that he's never seen a schedule like that. And it's just, it's difficult for San Jose. They are a team that is on the rise. They are not a team that is quote unquote there yet. And I think that you look at the teams in the NHL that are at the top, any of them would have had trouble with this schedule. And two consecutive back-to-backs on the road, the way this came out, in years prior, you would have been ecstatic with a 500 road trip. Now, a 500 road trip feels satisfactory, if not relatively disappointing. That shows you how far this team has come in very, very short order. So while the standards change, while we evaluate all these guys probably far too critically, because the Sharks... And I like to remind myself of this. They weren't supposed to be in this situation. They were supposed to take a step forward. They have taken a massive leap forward as a team. Obviously, Macklin Celebrini being at the vanguard, creating opportunity after opportunity for this team, putting them on his back. But you've watched Dmitry Orlov have more of an impact. You've watched John Klingberg, Mario Ferraro, Ryan Reeves. It's not just the young kids. It's the established players. They have come in. They've had success as well. And the Sharks, with the other guys coming in, like a Gaudette, who's been very impressive, and then Colin Graf and his ascension, all of these guys have been getting better and better in their improvement. For many of them, the most hockey they've ever played by February in a year. You've watched the team continue to get better. But there is a toll that takes. There is fatigue, the schedule, the reality, the brutality of the NHL. These young players are experiencing that for the first time. And the veteran guys, it's not like they are spring chickens, many of them. So, there are factors that go into these losses. And again, I think this team has the ability to learn from these losses and move on. If they do that, they will continue to find themselves in that playoff conversation and continuing to improve as a team. That has been the big thing about the Sharks, where do I feel they're better 1 week to the next, 1 month to the next? And overwhelmingly, the message has been yes. And I think that's never more evident than when you look at how they were able to respond to all the injuries they faced. But again, that trend needs to continue, and they've got six more games before the break that they have to pass as their next test. We're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.